Well, God bless you, everybody, and welcome back to camp. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for this great camp that we have to be together, Father. It's been a long time since we've been able to do this with each other, and we're just so grateful that we have a place to do it. Thank you, Father, for everybody here and for everybody actually being here in their hearts and minds and leaving all the cares and different things back from where we came from, that we can be here ready to go forward, God. Thank you for the word that's going to be shared here, for it to be the word that you want spoken and the word that you want us to believe. Thank you, Father, for just this time to be a game changer for us, to be spoken of throughout the whole world even, because we're believing you and your word. Thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Please be seated. So, we're here, and I want, you're happy, it's great. So, I just wanted to start off by thanking Reverend Jerry Carr for the opportunity that he's given me to oversee this camp, along with Reverend Alberto Pena, and Jesse Carr, and Patty Hannon. So, that's pretty neat. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. So it's been 4 years since 2019 since we've been able to do this. And I like this. You know, this is like a whole thing to put together and everything. But honestly, for me, it's a joy. I love these kind of things. When I was in the Word as a younger person, I loved to be together with other younger believers. And guess what? It hasn't changed. Still like to be together with believers, no matter how old you are. This camp will provide a great boost for us. You know, if we only lived for camps, we'd probably be dead. You know, the heart of God's word moving and living is in the fellowship. But these camps provide a great shot in the arm, you know, a good shot. And just a sweet, encouragement and blessing in our hearts. So kind of like I've heard it described as a mountaintop experience. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hilly around here. You go on the first floor, but you're on the fourth. Okay. My prayer is that we're inspired with the word, that we're healed and delivered, and that we just enjoy God's word together and relax. Sorry, that was a joke from earlier today, for those of you who weren't here. But that this would just be a total blessing for you as an individual believer and as a body together. Yeah, it's great. The last thing I want to say about this time together, and I shared this at the little meeting we had before, is that I just knew that you guys would come here and gladly received the word. Was I wrong? No. I didn't think so. That you would just be so ready, and that there would be no bending of brains or whatever. That you're just so ready to hear God's word, you know, chomping at the bit. And that comes from Acts 2:41. They gladly received, right? That means that they just willingly received, and that's what we are here at this camp. So for all of us teaching God's word, oh man, it's going to be easily entreated, I'm sure. Well, the next person who's going to share God's word is somebody that is one of the greatest men of God that I have the privilege to know, someone who lives his creed, and someone who believes and has dedicated his life to the movement of God's word and the preservation of God's word. And the preservation of God's word, Reverend Jerry Carr.
Thanks for coming. What an honor, huh? 4 long years since we've been able to do this. And it's been interesting for me to observe prayerfully the impact of the last several years that it has had on the world and that it has had on believers. Those few years in there made an impact not only on children that, you know, had to stay home and go to school, but it made an impact on God's people. Some of it great, some of it not so great. I know it was very hard on me. It was just so different, wasn't it? It was nice to, there's 72,000 people on my blue jeans tonight. Hey, everybody! And meanwhile, I have my pants down. Oh. Just kidding. See? That left, too. Where's the humor? That's funny. So, to be here and to be together with you is just, you know, the closest thing to the gathering together that we could have. To have the privilege of being with people who fellowship with God primarily, and then who like each other and love each other and hang in there with each other is, it's quite a God we have, isn't it? And, you know, I've been so blessed. I didn't even come to set up yesterday, primarily because my wife wouldn't let me because I broke my back and I would start vacuuming. Someone took my job. I guess Jesse took it. Nice going, son. That would have fans. But, you know, I came in here, and first place I, of course, went was here. I wanted to see where God's word was going to be held forth. And look at the beautiful job they did. That's the most beautiful poster we've ever had. You know why? Joe Armstrong painted that. That's why. The heart. What good is knowing the whole Bible if you don't have a heart of love and a heart of goodness and grace? That's not what I want to share tonight, but before I share it, I just thought how thankful I am for the family of God that we have, how each and every member of that family is so important. And there's, I'm not any more important than anybody else, and you're not either. We all are important to God. He has an individual chart laid out for our lives that if we just walk in the path that he has given us to walk in, we're going to have a more abundant life in every capacity. And, you know, it was so cool. Was it last weekend we had the Fellow Leaders Day? Or yeah. Two weekends? Last weekend? You know, we had... You know, I'd never done that where we have a whole day of like a fellow labor reunion, and there was 85 or so of us together. And I was just, again, just so blown away that we had started this fellow labor deal. What did I say? 28 years ago, was that right? Does anybody remember what I said? And, you know, to see how all those dudes have grown and dudesses, and how they have led God's people in a tremendous way because they've wanted to and they've had the heart to do it, just blows my mind. It blows my mind in how I shared last week that I wouldn't change anything. I mean, I would have liked to have been nicer at times or whatever, but I'm so thankful for the life that we have to live. You ought to be too, all right? Cheers. If you want to go to Proverbs, this week's going to be a great week of love, a great week of understanding more about outreach, a great week to understand believing to a greater degree. It's just going to be a great week. Where did I say? Proverbs 29. And whenever we do these things, my prayer for these things doesn't vary too often. It's for healing, deliverance. It's for vision setting. It's for help that we need from the Word and in our own personal lives. It's for all that. And here in verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, it should read, the people wander aimlessly. When we lose vision in our lives, I think we just die. What kind of vision do we have in our lives? And prayerfully that this week will help our vision. Whether we're, who's the youngest here? Do you know? Naomi's what, 4? You're the youngest, how old are you? 13. You know, no matter if you're young, vision should increase. Or if you're in your 70s, vision should increase. I would say when my vision stops increasing, it should be the last day that I live. To have a desire to go further, to have a desire to have God's word in my life more, to be able to give more. And by the way, Dean and Albert and Jesse and Patty have done a great job. But next year when we do this, I might be doing everything again. We're just working things out. You got that, right? I'm not going anywhere. You know, last week when people were sharing and stuff, you thought I died or something, for God's sake. But where there's no vision, people wander aimless. They just kind of die off. And I know how the world beats people up. I'm aware of that. Whether you're young or you're middle-aged or you're old. You know, devil's always telling us we're not good enough, we don't do enough, we're not this enough. And so contrary to God, and so contrary to what he just told us in manifestations, what he thinks about us. Nobody should really have to teach. And Acts 18, we'll start here, and we'll read a great record in God's word again. You know, when we came and looked at this place, they came several times, but when I came, I looked at this room and didn't think it could be really nice. When I came in here, this room didn't look like much. But man, look at it, how pretty these beautiful plants are. And they are. And how beautiful this setup is. It's simple, but it's warm. It's got heart. You know why? Because the people that put it together have warm hearts. Verse 24 of Acts 18, we read about a very intelligent man. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. That's all he knew. He just knew water baptism. That was the only thing he knew. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And boy, that's beautiful. They didn't interrupt his teaching and say, oh, God, Apollos, what are you doing? No. They probably took him aside, had a cup of coffee, and said, look, here's what God's word says. This is true. Thank you for sharing what you shared. What you shared blessed a lot of people. But look at this. Very loving. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. Yeah. So he was disposed, and he went to Achaia, and the brethren said, hey, this guy's great. He helped them much, which had believed through grace. And for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. What a great little section in there to give you a background on Apollos and to give you a background on what we're getting into now in chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to where? Well, where was Apollos? Ephesus. So it came to pass while Apostle Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as even heard whether there even be any Holy Spirit. Well, Apollos was up there teaching eloquently. He was teaching right on. Imagine a lot of people got blessed. Imagine a lot of people got healed or whatever, because he was teaching the word, but he did not know how to receive Holy Spirit. And those wonderful believers, Aquila and Priscilla, taught him a little more perfectly concerning those scriptures. And here Paul was going to Ephesus, said, hey, you guys spoke in tongues? Have you manifested God's spirit? Have you? They went, we don't know about that. We don't know. We don't know. And if you don't know, you don't know. And so he said unto them, well, what were you baptized? They said, John's. So they were baptized with water. Then Paul did not demean John. He said, yes, John verily baptized with water. He did that. He did that. The baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him. That's on Christ Jesus. And there, I don't know what happened between verse 4 and 5, but I know what verse 5 says. When they heard this, you know, there had to have been some teaching there. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Man, oh man, it's a great question to ask people that you witness to. Have you manifested Holy Spirit? That shouldn't be too hard, you know. We supposedly have an outreach house going, evidently. These are some great questions in the Word of God that the Word of God declares that they asked. It wouldn't be a bad idea to ask people that question. If they say they're born again, say, well, have you manifested God's Spirit? And they might say, well, what's that? And then that would open a door for you to share it, whether you're 600 years old or whether you're 12. It's a great question to ask people. You know what else is a great question to ask people? Would you like to come to my house to fellowship? I don't think we do that anymore. We go out and we witness, which is great. But do you ask them? John the Baptist, in John chapter 1, verse 35, said, oh, there's the Messiah. There he is. And they looked at Jesus, and Jesus says, what you looking at? He says, why don't you come see? Come on and see. It's a witnessing technique called asking people to go to your fellowship. Why do you have to wait 30 times talking to them at the laundromat every week? Come on. Yeah, verse 7. And all the men were about 12 or 12 households. And he went into the synagogue, and he spake boldly, not hesitantly, with confidence. He was just confident. Didn't mean he screamed. He just was confident. He shared. He as plain speaking as Harry Truman talked about. For the space of 3 months, that's 90 days or so, disputing or reasoning and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when many were hardened, and that word hardened means obstinate, stubborn. They were hardened. They were stubborn. They didn't want to hear it. They were obstinate. They didn't want to hear it. And you have to be able to say, okay, which we'll see in a little while, and not feel bad about it. Because what Paul did was say, sayonara. Many's were hardened, believed not, spake evil of that way. Before the multitude he left, and he separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. It doesn't say he went home and condemned himself. Paul was a pretty important man of God. He was the one that was given the mystery. He was the one that God showed the mystery to and told him to declare it. He's there 3 months. People were hardened. They were stubborn. They were obstinate. Paul said, I gave you my best shot. He moved on. You got to get better at kicking the dust off your feet and moving forward. You know, you just know that person's going to believe. Do you? They're the ones that need to know that. You can't go by people's sincerity. So he went to the school of Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. 2 years. Quite an assignment. He had another one for 3 months. Maybe it would have been 3 years, but the people didn't listen. So Paul was a failure. No. He kicked off the dust and went somewhere else, which I encourage you guys to do more often. Kick the dust off. Go someplace else. Talk to somebody else. He went to the school of Tyrannus for 3 years, or 2 years, so that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Everybody heard. And I don't really know how big all Asia was, but, you know, that's a big space. In 2 years, that happened. And wrought special miracles by the hands of God. They were special because people believed them. Every miracle is special. Every miracle is special. Getting somebody born again is the most special thing, a miracle anybody could ever get. From death to life, from the power of Satan to God, holy moly, in a moment of time. Gosh. So, that from his body were brought unto sick handkerchiefs. Handkerchiefs, they had runny noses. And aprons, aprons. Yeah. And the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Some were hardened in their hearts, and they didn't want God. They didn't want his word. Paul's response was, okay, let's go over here. See if there's some hunger here. And there must have been hunger there, because 2 years he spoke the word of God faithfully in the school of Tyrannus. So where all Asia heard the word of the Lord, man, oh man, that's something. He shared the word with people who really wanted it. You know, sincerity is no guarantee for truth. How bad do we want the word? Well, you'll know in your own life by how much you go to it. I'll know in my life how much I go to it. You know, but Paul lived with them. He bled his heart out to them. He ate with them. He drank with them. He danced with them. He shared God's word with them. Hung out with them. Found out how they were doing. Cared about them. And these people were not hardened. These people didn't talk crap about the Apostle Paul, evidently, because the word went throughout all Asia. We can still see that word move. Paul did a good job. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. And here, you know, this wasn't something new. Verse 1, it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Wow. That's quite an assignment. Never before this, in the whole word of God, was this relegated and delegated to people. Prophets, yes. Prophetesses, yes. Certain ones, yes. Look at that. Look at it. He gave them power against unclean spirits, cast them out. Too often times today, you realize that everything that is bad in our life, in the life of the world, is caused by the adversary. Everything. And there's a spirit behind all of it. It doesn't mean everybody would be everybody in the world, because we all blow it, is possessed. It just means the devil's behind it. And so oftentimes we're fooled by our senses because we just don't look to God enough and ask, what's going on? Why? Why? Hey, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out in the name of, well, I guess Jesus, and to heal all manner of sickness. And all manner of disease, all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 are these. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. And boy, this is really sharp. He sent them forth. You think Jesus walked with God? He sent them forth. Why? He commanded them, saying, don't go unto the way of the Gentiles. So you know right now where these guys are not supposed to go. Is that what it says? Don't go there. And in any city of the Samaritans, enter you not. Well, Jesus must have been mean. No. These 12, Jesus sent forth and told them this. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He not only told them where to go, he told them what to say. And you go, oh, gee, I wish somebody would tell me that. Have you read the church epistles? Where it tells us what we are, who we are, what we've got. We heard it in manifestations. In the church epistles, it tells us how we are to conduct ourselves in the body of Christ. Certain things we should say, certain things we should do, certain things we shouldn't do, certain things we shouldn't say. We don't need Jesus to come down here and tell us that, because the epistles tells us that. Jesus told them where to go. He told them who not to talk to. And he told them who to talk to, and he told them what to say. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely what? Yeah. We've freely received. Instructions. We have the tendency to not want to follow anyone or anything. We are obstinate. We are stubborn. We want it our way only. Well, I don't know that that's what God wants. He wants it his way. He's a jealous God. He's a God that demands our respect. Now, whether we do it or not is up to us. But he wants to help us. It's not a meany thing. He wants to help. He wants to deliver. It's the same God. I am the Lord, I change not, it says in the Italian book of Malachi. Heal the sick. And there was a book, a movie written about it, the Malachi Papers. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. So, man, he's really telling them what to do. He's telling them even what to bring. No script for your journey. And don't bring two coats. By God, don't bring two coats. And go barefoot. No shoes. Nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And whatsoever city or town ye enter into, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there. And when you come to the house, salute it. Bless it. Bless it. And if the house be worthy, well, let your peace come upon it. If it's a good place to go, just bless them with God's peace. God is the world unpeaceful. And that's nothing new. That doesn't have anything to do with COVID. It's been unpeaceful forever. Boy, when they look at you, they should see the embodiment of peace. They should just be melted by your lives and your love and your heart. Something. Let your peace come upon it. But if it isn't worthy, let your peace return to you. Don't condemn yourself. God, I hate it when people say, you know, they go witness and they go, oh man, I really blew it. You know, I said this and this and I said this and this and this and this and this and oh, I screwed up so bad. You know, I was a WW ambassador in one of the largest cities in the world, Independence, Missouri. And I literally blew a witness. I don't know why. I was sharing things so wrong. I don't know what happened to my mind, my brain. My heart was right, but my brain was not. And I realized how bad it was. And then they said, well, who do you belong to? And I said, the Jehovah's Witness, the Kingdom Hall down here. Then I thanked God for forgiving me, and I moved on. It's a true story. Yeah. So, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, stay blessed, okay? You didn't blow it. You loved them. You tried to help them. You didn't blow it. One of the places we're blowing it is we're not speaking up enough. Go to Luke 10. And that goes for everybody. 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds. You know, a lot of your buddies from school, Nathaniel, Naomi, Bella. You guys that go to school still, Caleb, you ought to be bringing them. I see pictures of them on the Instanet or whatever it is. Why don't you bring them to fellowship? Are you embarrassed? Do you mean business or is everything else more important? Your buddies. My kids all went through it. Jesse went through it. He was terrible. And then when he did, get people to come, they screwed him over and it hurt his heart and it was terrible. But daggone it, man, the word's got to move. And you got to move it. What's the word going to look like in 20 years, Nathaniel? Who's going to be leading? Who's going to be leading, Bella? Who's going to be leading? Charlie? Who's going to be leading? Because if it isn't you, there isn't going to be anybody. Where there's no vision, the people wander aimless. Luke chapter 10. I love you, but we're here for a week. We're going to get into some things, I hope. Stir it up. But you know, the response is always going to be the same. Some are going to get blessed, some won't. Some will say, I'll hear you again someday. Don't get bugged, because they're the ones that miss out, right? Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 at different occasions and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. A lot different than when he did it in Matthew. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs amongst wolves. That's not any different today. Don't carry purse, no script, no shoes. Salute no man, by the way. More instructions on what to do. Into whose ever house you enter, first say peace. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall go to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give. You know why? For the labor's worthy of his hire. Somebody invites you into their house, you're witnessing, they said, how about some cornbread? You say, all right. They don't get it. Okay, well, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Have some cornbread. Go not from house to house. Stick around there. That house might have something real special in it. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Be blessed. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come unto you. You know, that sounds rough. Philippians 2:5 says something. Anybody know what it says? What? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's see if there's another one, if we can try to get out of this. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, yeah. Greater is he that is where? Yeah. Okay, so we have a problem sometimes. We have Christ in us. God works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, and sometimes he's working in us, but we say, no, that's not nice. Or that can't be right because I don't feel like it or whatever. I don't want to talk to that guy. I don't want to talk to that girl. They might think something weird about me. But guess what? They already think something weird about you. Get over it. Get over it. I'm going to impress the world by my wonderful anything? I'm sorry. I am not impressing nobody. I don't even impress my wife. So, you know, heal the sick therein. If they don't receive your ways, just leave. Verse 11, the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God's going to come nigh unto you. And Joe talked about that at the fellowship coordinators meeting last Monday or whenever it was. Verse 17 we'll go to. The 70, so they got sent out. The 70 returned again with what? Joy. They were happy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. So he again delegated power unto these guys, and they manifested God's power in a great way to the extent that they kicked out spirits, which many times can be the cause of a problem. And they were like, yahoo! You are right, Jesus. They left. Woo-hoo! And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's a lot of power. And these guys weren't born again yet. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Don't be so excited about that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. Whoa. What low opinion we have that we're born again, seated in the heavenlies. God and Christ in us, we're going to heaven, man. When Bob shared so beautifully last week or whenever it was probably a day ago, on the hope, you know, boy, oh boy, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more any of this junk that goes on in this stupid cockeyed world. We should rejoice in that. We should be so happy that in Ephesians 1:4, what's it say? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame in love. Now that's something to get excited about. I look at my life and I didn't deserve anything. I didn't deserve nothing. Still don't really. But God made us a certain way when he placed spirit in us. It made us different. Different than anybody in the world. And yet, so oftentimes we want to be like the world. We want to be like Bunny Hop. What's his name? Bunny Bed. What's his name? Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny, yeah. Bunny Hop. Bad Bunny. Bunny. Do the hokey pokey. I don't know. Look, why in a Jesse James do you want to try to conform yourself to what God's word says not to? You know why I dress the way I dress? Because I want to. I basically dress the same way I dressed in high school. Because I want to. I don't want to clean up my act. No. You know, but Jesus making a point. You know, yeah, it's great that spirits are subject unto you. But man, what about you being written in heaven? Your name's being written in heaven. That's something. 1 John 4:4, you can write it down. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in where? That's God's word, men. He sent these guys out who did not have Holy Spirit, who, for as far as I know, the first time somebody delegated that power to a bunch of other people to go kick out spirits, heal people, get people up from the dead. And they came back excited as crazy as, well, they should have. Jesus said you should rejoice that you've been called. Your names are written in heaven. What about us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How about Romans 8:37? Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Are those nice verses to memorize? Or are those a reality in our lives? Stuff happens. We know that from the word. We have an adversary. He lives in this world. Adam gave him the right to. But doggone it, when things happen, how do we respond? What is our brain? What is our mindset? What have we set in our hearts? Not too long ago, I got hit, as many of you know, by a car, a drunk person. And that hurt, man. That hurt. I can't remember being that hurt. And yet God was helping me the whole time. And from the time, I mean, they didn't want me to, but I got out of my car and walked into the ambulance. They didn't like that. But from the time I was at the hospital to the time everybody heard the word. Because that is what's true. My feelings, my pain, whatever. It's there, but what's greater? What's the greater reality? For me, I made my mind up when I was 19 years old that this was it. And I still made up my mind. This is it. And I've seen more good things happen in my life, I think, than bad. Maybe, maybe not. 1 Corinthians 12. But is this life worth living for God? Is it worth helping one person? I remember one too long ago, Dr. Joe came up to me and did not ask with respect at all. But he informed me he was doing a fellowship and that they had like 6 or 7 people. And I was like, really? That's awesome. How great is that? He went and got his own fellowship. He didn't like mine. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That's not true. But golly, man, and I don't know how old you were when you started that, but you were in your late 60s anyway, right? Yep. Right? Yeah. And man, that guy there, man, he's just unbelievable. He decided he was going to memorize like 150 scriptures. So you know what he did? He memorized them. That's some kind of guy. 1 Corinthians 12 is some kind of verse. Verse is 7 through 11. 7 to 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what?
Profit.
That means to benefit. The manifestations are given so that we can benefit, so that we can profit to every believer, not just reverence. For to one is given word of wisdom, word of knowledge, same Spirit, faith, same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. Another, prophecy. Another, discerning of spirits. Another, diverse kinds of tongues. Another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills to operate. Well, how many are we operating? He gave every believer, excuse me, I need to stand. He gave every believer how many manifestations?
Nine
manifestations. How many speak in tongues? Okay, right now, we're all going to speak in tongues. All right?
Yep.
On the count of three. Huh?
Out loud.
Out loud. One, two, three, okay? Go. Okay, good. That's enough. How hard was that? How hard is it to kick out a spirit? How hard is it to minister healing? How hard is it to receive revelation? How hard is it to operate word of wisdom? How hard? No harder than what we just did. And I would suggest that we branch out a little bit in our believing, our vision, to manifest all nine. Why not? God gave them to every believer. We just read it. To profit with all. To benefit with all. All those who will. How bad do you will? Look, Revelation's never going to make any sense to anyone because that's what Revelation is. Your operators of God given wherever you should recover, his revealing to you. Certain truths or facts that are humanly impossible for you by your five senses to what?
Nothing.
So step outside of your stupid, me too, five senses. They will hinder our walks with God. Those nine dots that we have allowed the adversary to put us in. Step outside the box. I remember when I got in the Word, I had this mind picture of me and God that I would be the first one to walk off the cliff and let him hold my hand. I don't know if I've done it very good, but God's given us his Spirit so we could manifest it, not so we can monkey around and have a nice teaching at fellowship, say amen, have cookies, and then talk about Joe Biden. That's not why he gave us Holy Spirit. He gave us Holy Spirit so that we could manifest that Spirit. And all that does is help other people. Every time I speak in tongues, I'm helping you. Every time you speak in tongues, you're helping me. Every time we're at a meeting and we hear words of edification, exhortation, and comfort, we get so blessed. There's always a prophet, always a prophet. Don't let your sense knowledge keep you from the Holy Spirit. Am I tripping or is things blinking in here? Thank the Lord. I thought, oh boy, flashback. Acts 19 again. Acts 19, we're continuing verse 10. It says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And again, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. This word of God was so hot in the believers, see. The temperature of believing of God's people was so high because of the word of God that they heard for 2 years by this wonderful man of God. Consistently. Consistently. and made an indelible imprint in their lives to the degree that that temperature of believing, so that from the body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, diseases parted from evil spirits left. And look, the temperature of believing was so high because they heard the word of God and they believed the word of God. What's Romans? It's 10:17, isn't it? So faith or believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by what?
The word of God.
Boy, oh boy. That's why this week should be so exciting for all of us. Not just that we have the privilege of being together again, but this word of God can live in our lives. I expect this week to help us in our believing. You know, believing when it's manifested in a great way inspires believing in others. Don't tell me it doesn't. Otherwise, God made a mistake writing the book of Acts, having the book of Acts written. You see it time after time again, and that's why those records are in there. Partly, these people get healed. The word moves like wildfire. And then devilish people try to stop it, hinder it. Then there's a great healing or a great deliverance. And the word moves like, look at it. Acts 2. About 3,000 believed as a result of that day of Pentecost. Look at Acts 4, where the result of the man getting healed at the temple gate, beautiful, inspired about 5,000 to believe. God has not died. He's still the same God, and we can move this word of God with the same alacrity as they did then. We just got to believe it. Matthew 21:22, you can write it down. It says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. There was great healing, great deliverance in this book of Acts. And if this word of God really lives in us, we'll share it. We'll feel free to talk about it because it lives in us. We'll want to talk about it because it lives in us. Whether it's your barber, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's at like at the bagel place I go to. People in Milltown know who I am, and they know what I represent. And they've seen the power of God even in their lives and their children's lives. They know. Why? Because I want them to know. I'm stealing from them if I don't tell them. You got $5 billion. And you keep it all to yourself, and you die lonely and sad. Red Hot Chili Peppers said, give it away, y'all. There was great healing. There was great deliverance. There was great outreach. And if the Word of God is going to live in us, we're going to talk about it. We're going to share it. We're going to minister to people with great believing, great deliverance. When there's great believing, when there's great deliverance, there will always be outreach that follows. What's that thing Dr. Earle said in Thessalonians about produces sound doctrine produces fruitful witnessing? And you have pretty doggone sound doctrine. You haven't been taught wrong. You haven't had people teach you that are handling the Word of God deceitfully. Maybe we've made mistakes here and there, but never on purpose or to get people to buddy up with us. And I, you know, whether you buddy up with me or not, I don't care. I just want the Word of God to live. Acts 19, verse 20, it says, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. So mightily. The opinion of Paul, no. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. God's word cannot prevail unless somebody plants and somebody waters. 1 Corinthians. For while one said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Yes. That's a figure of speech with the question asked, already knowing the answer. Are you of Dean? Are you of Joe? Are you of Jerry? Are you of Michael? Are you of Steve? Are you of Bob? Whenever that happens, you can just forget it. You can just forget it. I've seen that act. Great presentations, great this, great that, you know, falling out. Then, oh, it's a mess. It's division. I'm Paul. I'm Paulus. Aren't you carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Paulus? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the what? Yeah, and boy, that's a very important thing to remember. So neither is he that planteth anything or him that watereth, but God giveth the increase. It's important to plant. It's important to water. But the most important thing is to realize God gives the increase. And you know what? If it says he gives the increase, that means he will do that. God gives the increase. But somebody's got to plant. Somebody has to water. We're the ones. Now to decide whether to believe him or toss him aside. We're the ones. I have no hands but your hands with wits to give them bread. I have no feet but your feet with wits to walk amongst the almost dead. We say we are his, he is ours. Deeds, not words, are the proof of this, and these are the proving ours. My exhortation is that we speak God's word boldly, regularly. We should expect God to work in us, to bless us, to heal us, to deliver us, so that we can just go forth, woo, and declare to people how God heals, how God delivers, how God will help, how God loves. It's so vivid in my mind the first time I experience come and go, I know, but the first time I knew, I saw the love of God. It was the most overwhelming thing I'd ever seen in my life or felt in my life. And I did feel it. I didn't know what it was at that time until the next week. And then I was like, oh my gosh, it's love. All the hippies were yapping about it out where we lived. I finally found it. Love that could only be love from God, that's eternal. He loves unconditionally. You think you're going to be good enough to manifest God's power? You think you're bad enough, so bad you can't do it? You think God, I mean, George could tell you some of the miracles that God wrought with us when we were really screwed up. We'd been in the Word, but we were so screwed up. What's the name of that movie we saw? Oh, no. It was much worse than Jesus. Fantasia. And then you can just add to that. But that night, saw great healing. That's all I'm going to say. It's not how good we are. It's not how bad we are. It's how great he is. Condemnation prevents people from believing God like nothing else I've ever seen. That and fear. Those two things, God, Lord, and they run hand in hand. We'll never be good enough. God called us because he's great. And because we have Christ in us, that part of our life is perfect. Everything else, not so great. But what do we do with it? My exhortation is to believe, speak, read regularly. And we should expect every day. Like tonight before I taught, I had a teaching, but you know, you can have a teaching that can go 7,000 different ways. And you just know it's going to go the way God wants because God's so much bigger and superior. That's awesome. You should prepare. Otherwise, you can't do that, but it's awesome. What God's doing even tonight is just awesome. I see it. I know it. We don't do any of this stuff out of obligation because we have to or we're supposed to. Not at all. But we do it with great anticipation, great expectation, and believing. You know why? Because God will do what he says he will do. He's the only one that doesn't lie. You do, I do. So we can have anticipation and expectation because he will do what he says he'll do. We can and we should be more confident in what God's word says than anything else. Did you hear that? Really? That's the first place we should all go for any information. God's word. Not our phones to find out if we're sick. Or anything else. Not our phones. Unless you're looking up Blue Letter Bible. But God's word. That's where we should go for our information. Nowhere else. Not our phones. And not our best friends. You know, I think Tammy likes me. What do you think? I think she can't stand you. No, you know, you're gonna, and then you're going to go, okay, well, she can't stand me. You're going to take the information of some jadrul and not God? Wait a minute. We've been so conditioned by the world, and that's all of us, that sometimes God is the last resort, the last place we go. We go to every doctor, then we go to God. God's no piker, like Dr. Werrell used to say. He's in business, even now, even at this moment. Our God is still able and willing. Remember, God's willingness equals his ability. He's still able, and he still really desires to help, to heal, to deliver, to give us vision, to forgive, to tenderize, to melt one's heart with God's love. He's still there, able and willing to work in us, to will and to do of his good pleasure. The word of God is the will of God, which is still the greatest secret in the world today. And I think sometimes believers who know have heard it 1,000 times go, yeah, I know that's the greatest secret. Well, sometimes it's the greatest secret in our own lives. We know it. We quote it. It's a nice saying. But you'll really know it if that's where you go for answers, if that's where you go for counsel, if that's where we go for healing, if that's where we go for everything. So I'd like to close here with a tiny poem written by author unknown. One man awake awakens another. The second awakens his next door neighbor. And three awake can rouse the town and turn the whole wide world upside down. Many awake can raise such a fuss that it finally awakens the rest of us. One man up with dawn in his eyes multiplies. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you gave us this word to believe so that we could benefit and be a blessing. And also so that we can bless others, Father. We want this word that you've given us to prevail mightily in our lives and in the lives of the people that we fellowship with. I pray that this week can provide tremendous help for all of us, and that result of that is that we can help a lot of other people in this starving world. Thanks for the privilege of being alive and to be able to be with such wonderful people. Thanks for enlightening the eyes of our understanding and for your healing wholeness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.